Make sure that you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Jesus is always trying to get us to remember this. Our stuff, well, we're not taking any of it with us. But every act of kindness, every love shown toward another human being, that follows you into the kingdom. Follows, not precedes.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Revelation.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Do you remember how last time, like in a dream, image flowed into image? After the triumphal scene on Mount Zion, we encountered three angels with their messages. The first announced an eternal gospel, telling to all who dwell on the earth to fear the Creator, not the dragon or not beastie number one or two. Then a second angel proclaiming of all things the fall of Babylon. Remember, though, that was code name for the enemy of God's saints at the time, the Roman Empire, which encouraged toward idolatrous worship. Then a third angel announcing what happens to those who go along to get along and receive the mark of the beast. They end up drinking the wine of God's wrath, full strength, tormented with sulfur and fire before the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. Hence, don't compromise with the evil one. It's not worth it. A little bit of earthly peace is a poor trade-off for an eternity of hellfire. A reading from Revelation, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud, one like a son of man, with a golden crown on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is fully ripe. So he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle across the earth, and the earth was reaped. Revelation 14, verses 13 to 16. Let us pray. Everlasting God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, grant us your grace that we may make good and diligent study of Holy Scripture, seek and find Christ therein, and through him have eternal life. Graciously grant it, dear Lord God. Amen. So you're ready to dig into this section of Revelation? Let's get to it. Verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. The contrast with the previous angelic message is marked, isn't it? He had warned against trading off an eternity of hell for a little bit of earthly peace, a temporary reprieve, something that still leaves you restless, making the mistake that Esau made with his birthright. See Genesis 25, verse 29 and following. Now, fallen human beings usually think of death as the worst thing ever. But it's not, of course, because after death is judgment, and then you'll end up in one of two places, as Jesus makes perfectly plain time after time in the New Testament. So notice that this voice from heaven does not proclaim all the dead blessed. Rather, only those dead who die in the Lord. That means who depart this life in saving faith trusting in the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of all their sins, and knowing that he will raise them from death and give them a life that never ends, to depart this world in his faith and friendship. That's what it means to die a blessed death. What's the force of from now on, though? Lots of the fathers, St. Ambrose of Milan and Bede among them, understood it to mean from the time of death. In other words, because of what Jesus has done, death itself has been transformed. It's like a door that opens onto great blessedness for all who die in the Lord. As we love to sing at Easter, he brings us to the portal that leads to bliss untold, whereon this rhyme immortal is found in script of gold. Who there my cross has shared finds here a crown prepared. Who there with me has died shall here be glorified. Verse 13 continued, blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. R.I.P. Rest in peace. This is where the idea comes from, that the dead rest. All the troubles, all the hardships, all the griefs and sorrows of this world, of this age, they have an end. And it's a blessed end when people die in the Lord. And further, their deeds follow them. Jesus is always trying to get us to remember this. Our stuff, well, we're not taking any of it with us. But every act of kindness, every love shown toward another human being, that follows you into the kingdom. Follows, not precedes. Works don't win the saints their blessedness. That's Jesus' free gift, as you well know. But what they have done in faithfulness to him, that's going to be rewarded on that day. Here's how poet and scholar Martin Fransman, the 20th century commentator on Revelation, speaks of this. Their deeds, the unforgotten record of their faith, will follow them out of the toilsome infamy of this world, where beast and Babylon may reign and triumph for a while, into the bright world of rest, where they shall hear their Lord's well done and their Lord's welcoming, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Verse 14. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud one like a son of man, with a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Do you remember what the angel had told the disciples as they stood with their mouths agape, staring up into heaven on the ascension? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So as a cloud received him at the ascension, when he returns, the Son of Man will come in the clouds of heaven, as Daniel in chapter 7, verse 13 said, and Jesus at his trial foretold, Matthew 26, verse 64. His golden crown confesses his universal dominion, and that is forever safe from the Antichrist and the dragon and any political power of this world. And when he comes, he comes with sickle in hand. Remember how the church sings? Even so, Lord, quickly come to thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin, there forever purified in thy garner to abide. Come with all thine angels, come, raise the glorious harvest home. Verse 15. And another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, put in your sickle and reap. For the hour to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is fully ripe. The picture is one already introduced here by St. John the Baptist. Do you remember how he foretold about Jesus in Luke 3, verse 17? His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So the hour finally arrives for the division of the godly from the ungodly. But the way it is depicted here, the godly are first gathered home to the Lord. Remember how St. Paul had told us what's going to happen when the Lord Jesus finally appears in glory. 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the harvest of the earth that John describes here. Verse 16. So he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle across the earth, and the earth was reaped. We know from our Lord's own parables how this will fall out. Matthew 13:39. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. This is the great homecoming moment of God's saints. St. Andrew of Caesarea says of this, writing in the early 6th century, at that time, that which is changeable and transient will cease to exist, and that which is immovable and enduring will be manifested. That the harvest is ripe indicates that the time of consummation has come, when the seed of piety, having matured as ripe wheat, will be regarded as ready for the heavenly granary and rise and will yield for the husbandman 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So the first reaping, if you will, is the gathering of Christ's own into his kingdom. Yes, the blessed dead have preceded them, but in the end, when the blessed dead are raised, then the saints who are alive on earth are going to be transformed in an instant and carried up in the air to greet their Lord, who is coming to them at long last as promised. To be in the Lord is to have this for your future and to know that it is sure and certain. And right there at that awkward spot, that's where we're going to be stopping today. You know we're only halfway through with this scene of judgment, because if those who die in the Lord are blessed, well, we still have to hear about those who depart this life without saving faith, or whom Christ in his coming and glory finds without such faith. What's going to befall them? The third angel, remember, had already foretold fire and brimstone and torment in the presence of the Lamb and the holy angels. That same reality will be depicted for us under a different image this time. Another angel comes out of the temple. He too has a sharp sickle. Then another angel, having authority over fire, that's ominous, will command the angel with the sickle to put it in and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth. Wheat, implied by the first angel, grapes this time. This grape harvest is gathered and then tossed into the great winepress of God's wrath. The winepress is trodden, with the blood of the slain running bridal high outside the city. Note, outside the city. For 1,600 stadia, that's 184 miles. Bridal high blood covering 184 square miles. Couldn't get much more nightmarish than that. In other words, a horrific slaughter. Now, every time Scripture depicts hell to you, it uses a different image to communicate this one truth: the horror of this place and how you most certainly do not want to end up there. It's like burning, but worse. It's like drowning in blood, but worse. It's like freezing cold, but worse. It's the horrible place where rebellion refuses to die. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.